Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This is the Roots and Shine podcast with us, Victoria Roos Olsen
and Josephine Roos. We are Swedish sisters, and in our podcast, we explore career and well-being.
So join us for inspiration and practical insights from our own international lives and careers.
Good morning. This is Victoria sending from Atlanta.
Good morning, Victoria. This is Josephine from Mallorca, Spain.
How are you? And welcome to 2022, our first episode.
Welcome to a new year. And essentially January was a write-off. So, pretty glad to be here in February and to begin again.
I know. Hence the theme of our episode.
Yes, to begin again.
And why are we doing this?
Because perhaps, like many of our listeners and our dear friends and people that we work with, including ourselves, have in different ways and different levels felt that perhaps we're reaching some kind of burnout before even getting into February. Mm-hmm. And perhaps the year did not really start out as planned. Perhaps we already broke some of those amazing intentions. If you are like us, that you did vision boards and wrote up roles and goals, perhaps January just did not live up
yeah. to all of that. And I've spoken to a lot of leaders. It's been a busy January for me. And I've heard a few mention things such as, Victoria, I don't know what's wrong, but we just don't have the energy or the engagement. It's like everyone's like, oh. So this episode is for all of you, right? For everyone is sort of, what can I do now to reboost that energy? And maybe you're like, hey, I'm rocking it and this is going great. This could be a little bit of an inspiration to keep you going, right? So to add to that level, what are we going to talk about then?
Well, first of all, we're going to talk about, of course, how we're feeling right now and mm-hmm. where we are at and perhaps why January isn't everything that it was meant to be. But then moving on to the fact that wherever we are, we don't actually need to lose all of those good intentions that yeah. we had set for yes. the year. It is okay to write off January and you can begin again.
Yes.
So this is for everyone that if you're like me, you might have received things on Instagram saying, you know, this is the most important week to keep your goals or your intentions going, you know, because after 3 weeks or so, you let go. Some of you might be there, but some of you more like me might feel like, okay, I didn't even get to start those 3 weeks of good intentions.
Yeah.
I need to start them now. And don't feel bad for January, but essentially start to see, okay, what can I do to pick things up yeah. in February?
Which makes me think of a friend of mine sent me this little fun clip. And it was something like, hey, we have a new concept of an amazing gym. So it starts every year at January 1st. And for the three first weeks, it's a hardcore gym. And then week three, it turns into a wine bar. So, but this is for everyone who wants to stay in the gym and also go to the wine bar. whatever your intentions are. So like, how do I make the best of that? All right. So,
oh, I love that.
So first of all, how are you? How's your year been going so far, Josephine?
Well, I was saying to a friend, she was contacting me. We have these lovely catch-up calls on a monthly basis, and we had not done that in January. Mm-hmm. And I just wrote to her, like, January has been a big smack in my face.
Oh.
You know, no, but, you know, that's how it felt that it started. And I'm saying that laughing now, because as things always are, and they always fluctuate, you can be in a dip, and then you just have to be there perhaps for a little bit, and then you can start to get out on the other side.
Yeah.
So when I say that, I mean, first of all, it started off with really bad health news for one of my best friends.
Mm-hmm.
And that started off just shocking us all and her, and just incredibly tough to be thinking about that.
Yeah.
And then I got COVID. Which I think probably 95% of the listeners, you know, or at least 60% of the listeners by March, if we believe the stats, you know, right, will have experienced. And it's not like, you know, people are talking about Omicron being so mild and not noticing anything. I can tell you that our family noticed Omicron.
Yeah,
for sure. We all had it. We were all bedridden and it was pretty sick.
Yeah.
And then, you know, how things are with diseases, like, we're sick, but of course it wasn't, or not of course, but it wasn't so bad that you're worried about the disease in itself, but it plays on your mind, you know?
Yeah.
It plays on your mind. And I was feeling so kind of guilty about that, because at the same time, I have my friend that have these really challenging health news. And for me, a week of COVID is already playing on my mind.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about that and thinking about how to keep strong, almost for her, because I feel like it's my responsibility somehow.
Mm-hmm.
But the tiredness and sadness and whatever that disease might bring up was quite lingering.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's why we're having this episode. And it is changing now, but it was just kind of important to reflect on that a little bit.
Yeah, right. I totally understand. And I remember getting, you know, our quick chats and WhatsApp messages, and at the same time that you were all down with COVID, my husband and I had the most amazing trip to Hawaii. So I'm like, so I'm going to do that every year now, go and have a Maui boost in January, because I must say that was amazing.
Go ahead. But the idea of literally writing January off, I mean, this sounds incredibly privileged, and it would be and is.
Yes.
But to literally take a break in January.
Yeah.
We did that. We went once away in January. Amazing. And now you've had this amazing holiday in Hawaii.
It does calm the mind down. I mean, really, that was, and for those of you who have not been to Maui, and it's a magical place. I mean, there really is a little touch of magic there. So that was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
What did happen, though, is when we came back, of course, all the things I was supposed to have done, that, like, it became a very sort of intense week. So I guess from my perspective is the promise to myself to not be busy, but just busy has been, in a sense, challenged, even though it was extremely serene and reflective and beautiful in Maui. Yeah, so that's what I'm going to be thinking about. But let's go into the steps here, right? What can we do then when we are here at this place where January maybe didn't turn out the way I wanted, or I'm not in a great place? And by the way, I guess this could go for any time in life when you're sort of checking in with yourself and you feel that it's not really going according to plan, according to your intentions. So what is it that you can do then? What's the first step?
Well, so it really, to say that it's when you need to start again. And like you're saying, that could be you need to start again with the day. You need to start again with the week. You know, you need to start again with a meeting, or, you know, the tennis game.
Yeah.
So it's like kind of almost the mindset of a professional athlete. You know, how do you start again when things are not going that well? And even perhaps in situations when you're not really ready for a pep talk.
Yeah.
But you know, when things are actually kind of hard.
Yeah.
And yeah. How do you still start again, but in a way that is genuine and motivating for you?
Yeah. So we've been thinking a lot about this. And in the past week, I'm going to say we've checked in with each other numerous times and really say like, so how do you do it? And we've looked into all the different workshops and things that we do. And as you all know, we read lots of books and really think and reflect on what's the number one sort of starting point. And I think that number one point is just to start out by truly checking in with yourself, mm-hmm. right? Before you do anything else. And as you said, you know, you're like, oh, I don't want to think about this. I'm just going to go, okay, that intention didn't work. Forget about it. But really start out and just ask yourself, where am I? Right? Like, mm-hmm. and why am I here? And what do I need? And what's the consequences if I'm going to stay here? Right? So a little bit of a self-analysis.
Yeah, a bit of that checking in and just recognizing where you are. Where am I now? Where have this left me? Where's the month of January? If that was a big wave, you know, mm-hmm, where has mm-hmm. it left me now? And with that, starting to do that self-diagnosis, it's a little bit about taking that time to accept what happened.
Yeah.
Okay. So January was that big wave that washed me, or this meeting was, or this day was. And okay, but here I am now sitting on the beach and that's solid ground. Mm-hmm. And now I need to start to think about, okay, where am I? What do I still want to bring with me from all of these intentions and goals that I perhaps had set up that didn't go the way that I planned? Because looking at where you are now is also a really good moment to start to then look at refocusing.
Yeah.
So going back over, so you might have, like I did in December, written a number of goals for the year, now feeling that perhaps not started on that many of them. Mm-hmm. Go back to that list and see, because this is a great time to see what of those are actually still inspiring to
me. Yeah, exactly. That's a great point. And I think when you do that, also sometimes, you know, the constant thing of, okay, well, I broke my resolution, right? And that's why I think resolutions are really not that great. It's better with intentions, right? And visions, and because it's a continued journey, right? But so what if you did? But it's a little bit like, I think I've shared this, I read this book about it. It's a woman who works with hypnosis, and she's saying that, you know, a lot of people, and I can totally relate to this, they're like, okay, so I had that brownie and I wasn't going to have any sugar. And now I'm like eating this brownie. So sod it. I can just have as many brownies as I want because it's anyway too big. Mm-hmm. And she sort of compared that to, well, how would you do if you were shopping and you went on a spree and did a little bit of over shopping one day, you wouldn't solve that by, okay, it's too late anyway. I'm going to go and shop even more today. I mean, most people would. I guess there are addictive shoppers too, right? But most people would say like, no, okay, better keep it a little bit tight this month, right? Because otherwise I'll have a big problem next month. And I think that's also okay to say, like, I didn't ruin it. Okay, it didn't really go the way I wanted to, but what can I do about it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And with that first, if this is our first step, so to say, the, you know, mm-hmm. the recognizing where you are, mm-hmm. you start to then see, you know, where do I really want to keep my focus this year? And then perhaps look into a little bit, what is it that I need to get the desired result?
Yeah.
And or to start in the desired result, not even the result, to start moving again, if that is where you are.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about this because there are some days that I would call you and, you know, everything that I would need is probably someone saying, you know, or you saying, come on, you can do this, you know, just get up there and do it. And I was thinking last week, like, if you'd said that to me, I'd probably just start crying.
Yeah. Yeah.
it's still, I wanted to go get to that point, feeling motivated again. But at that point, what I needed was much more, you're doing great, you know, just take it easy and rest. And I had this whole reflection around the struggle, this kind of constant struggle. And for me, I mean, my brain is telling me enough that I'm not doing enough. Like, mm-hmm. So I don't need another person telling me that. Like, I have that covered. And I think, I don't know, for me, it was just a realization of perhaps there does not need to be so much struggle.
No.
You know, maybe in these situations, when you're feeling like you should get started, maybe that gripping of getting started is perhaps working against you getting started.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I love that you're saying that. And I think it's something I've been reflecting on a lot too lately. And also I'm really thinking back to my friend Sophia that I spoke about in the last episode. And I think the trick is to know what kind of medicine you need. Yourself or the person that you're talking to or the person that you're the leader to, because it's not always one answer, right? And it's going to vary with the same person even, right? And sometimes all we need is just someone that listens and says yes and no, and or we need to do that to ourselves, just be kind to ourselves. And then there are times where you just need, like, hey, kick in the butt and just get going, and someone or yourself that just, like, hey, just stop whining and go for it. But the challenge is to know, when do you need what?
Yes. And the idea here is that no one can tell you that. We certainly can't tell you that. And I'm preparing this module on resilience for Peace on Purpose that I work with. It's trainings for UN staff. And part of that we're looking at is in terms of looking at people with or that have showcased a lot of resilience. Mm-hmm. There is not one single tool that these people have used. And actually, whatever people are using for a way of supporting them through a potentially traumatic time, that's changing and has to change over time. After a certain amount of time, any type of coping behavior might become maladaptive.
Yeah.
So you might need to refine after a while what you're doing.
Yeah.
And maybe sometimes you might have a negative coping behavior, but that might actually help you, like having a big drink one night.
Yeah.
But if that becomes what you're doing every time you're struggling, obviously that wouldn't be something to recommend.
No.
But maybe that first time, that is what you need, you know?
Yeah.
So there's just these number of different ways, and that is the starting with the self-diagnosis. Where am I?
Yes.
And what do I need now?
And the trick here is, you say we'll never know, but I think the key skill is to really, really listen. And listen to each other and listen to yourself, right? And to have that ability to listen and just spend time doing that. And I know I've spoken before about, you know, rather than just saying, hey, how are you doing today? But just say, hey, what are three different feelings, right? And I've started to go even deeper and saying, like, I don't want to hear just good. I want you to stop for a moment. We're here now. And, you know, lately I'm doing lots of workshops with leaders where I know they've already worked half the day, right? And now they're coming in from their busy day and they're like, oh yeah, this is something to tick off on my list, right? To just stop for a moment, take a deep breath and just check in, like, hey, how am I doing? Look at yourself. And it's so interesting. The answer is just really, it's like 20 seconds that people stop, reflect, and think about themselves, and the answers that come out, like, oh, it's not just, oh, hey, great, right? And some will be doing great, but many, you know, all these different feelings. And I think that's an important part, to stop and just ask yourself, how am I doing? Why am I feeling this way, right? And what's going to happen if I stay here? Is this good or bad or, like, right? So
I think there's something before what's going to happen if I stay here. And you kept actually reminding me that the book here that we both picked up in the airport, I think maybe perhaps a lot of people did lately, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck with Mark Manson. And he writes about this feedback loop from hell. And when this idea of, like, you're feeling bad, and then you feel really bad for feeling bad.
Yeah.
A great example is, I have COVID, I feel bad, but actually I have a lot of consideration for my friend who's in a much harder situation. And, you know, and then I shouldn't be feeling this bad. I should just kind of get myself together. And I think that's important. And we all know about it, but it is that taking that step in between and saying, okay, I'm sad and that's okay. And I can, you know, maybe I get to be here. So perhaps less about, like, And how will I feel if I continue to stay here? Because, you know, that I'll feel even more sad.
I guess when I said that, I wasn't necessarily thinking about the feeling of being sad. I was thinking for me, like, all right, I am extremely busy right now. Mm. It's super intense. I took it from my perspective mm-hmm. from the last week, mm-hmm. right? And saying to myself, right, all right, I'm busy. I'm having lots of fun, but it's very intense. And what's going to be the consequences if I stay in this speed for the rest of the week, right? So, so I think that's how I was relating to it. But absolutely, you're right. When it comes to those feelings, it's and that feedback loop from hell, I can, I think some do it more than others. I can definitely see how you, as my sister, how you sort of easily get into that trap of like, no, I don't want to be angry. Like, and then you add even more feelings. I think one of my daughters is an expert at this as well. And I think if you end up there, it's really like stop that loop, right? Because it's not going to help you, right?
Yeah. And I think it's for a lot of people that are, you know, kind of in the positive psychologist world, or the messages that we get all the time are essentially, you know, that we should control how we feel.
Yeah.
And then we also get messages that are saying, okay, it's okay to feel bad, but they're so contradicting sometimes that it is hard to say, okay, let's feel bad here a bit. Let's write January off and then, you know, let's get up again.
Yeah. So going back and thinking about this famous Swedish book of Alfons Åberg, you know, where the wise grandma is telling this little boy that, you know what? It's okay to have a boring time because, you know, we need to be bored sometimes so we can really enjoy when it's not boring, right? If it would always be on a high, you're never going to enjoy it. And I think it's okay to be sad. It's okay to be like, I don't have it all together, right? And have those moments and be a bit self-compassionate, I'd say.
Self-compassionate. And then after that, the next step is to start to look at, okay, so what is the perhaps the input that I need for the desired result?
Exactly.
And the inputs might be very different from different people and different times. And whenever you're listening to this, the medicine might be different, so to say. But the idea here is that perhaps sometimes we go to input that we think will be helpful that is actually not helpful because we're stuck in it. Or we don't have the access to it. So that's for say for me now, why was I feeling so down? Well, perhaps because I'm actually addicted to working out and I couldn't work out for 10 days.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
And or still not really. And then you have to look at, okay, what are other types of input that can, unfortunately, it's food. So it's like, you know,
short-term impact, but
but it's a bit of that, looking at what is the input that you need. And normally, or I wouldn't say normally, for some people, it might not be telling yourself that you should do more or feel better.
No.
But rather, it might be something very different.
Yeah. So what we prepared, actually, we've gone through and we looked at what are different things that potentially could be something that works for you. Because I think, to your point, it's all going to be different things, but what are proven methods that works for some that potentially could be working for you?
Yes.
And you've been speaking about one method very enthusiastically in the past week, like when we've spoken. So tell us all about that. What is one thing that really works for you?
Well, so this one thing came to me after having an incredibly inspiring conversation with one of my best friends who's also facing health challenges at this time. And I was giving her some advice, which beautifully was turned right back at me. You know, she used the exact words and gave that to me. But like, it was a beautiful conversation. We both left it so inspired. But it was all around baby steps.
Hmm.
It was all about in a situation where something is overwhelming and hard and incredibly challenging, the real importance of taking baby steps.
Yeah.
And what does that mean? I mean, I think that that can be a lot of different things. And we all know about, you know, let's take the baby step. But I think that there's something around when you're really stuck or going through something challenging, you need some motion.
Yeah.
You need something to start again. Love and that. You need to look back at a period of your time and say, well, no, actually, you know, it was meaningful. I started something, whatever that is, mm-hmm. not started mm-hmm. something big, but I put something into motion. And here the baby steps are so incredibly important. And I recognize that a lot of my goals, despite knowing these kind of things, but a lot of my goals of the year were written in such kind of big capital letters. It was the big goal. Like, I am wanting to create an institute here in Mallorca. Mm-hmm. And picking that up, being sick in COVID and, you know, everything that was happening, you know, how do you even start a Monday morning?
Yeah.
You know, with a final vision, like my goal there is like the final vision. And you look at Instagram or social media and you see the other people's final results of their, you know, 15-year journey. And it looks very, very big. And I just think that having that time to look at the small steps, the small things that you could put into motion now. Yeah. And I just saw the importance of perhaps for me, when I'm in a more of higher state, mm-hmm. actually also write down the baby steps, because that supports you when you are in a lower state.
Yeah.
But when you're in this lower state, you might not even know what the baby steps are.
Yeah. But so just a personal experience that makes me think of me having put, I mean, last year I put the big goal, like I'm going to write a book, right? Then now it's going to happen. And that just felt so overwhelming to me, like, because I got really busy. I'm like, I'm never going to be able to write a book. And then summer came and I had a little bit of time to reflect and revisit and really think about it. And I thought, well, all right, so I'm probably not going to write a book this year. But what I can do, what is a baby step, is to just write something little every day, right?
Yeah.
And write a reflection. And if it's going to eventually get in a book or not, let's see. And post these on LinkedIn. And it's interesting because then it was such a small thing, but I started to do it after the summer to regularly. I gave myself like, okay, 3 times a week, I'm going to post a little thought, a little something that I'm writing on LinkedIn, just because it really puts it into action. It was something specific and it was not too overwhelming. And it was really with that intention of forget about the book for the moment, but this is what I need to start working on. And it's interesting now in January, so like 6 months later, when first I went to Hawaii and I met all my colleagues, or many, many of my beautiful colleagues. And it was fun to see, like, so many of them came up to me and were like, wow, we love your LinkedIn posts. And that was so rewarding and so lovely to get all that feedback. And what felt like such a small thing to write all these little, you know, whenever I'm doing it, I'm like, it's in my morning reflection and I'll just write it down, right? And then post it. Now that I see it's actually produces lots of texts. I've saved them and I have them, right? So that's an example, I'd say, of a baby step, right?
Yeah. And I think that's that can be applied at different times. It can be when you are, you know, in a high achieving job and you're really busy and you need to put baby steps into this other dream or this mm-hmm. writing the book dream or, you know, that kind of that is outside of your normal workday, perhaps. And then it's also if you are, you know, quite a new mother or you have young kids, I feel mm-hmm. like this really fits in here because that's a time when there's so much stop and go and stop and go.
Yeah.
There are, you know, you're inspired and then you have 3 weeks of not sleeping properly and then you're home with a sick kid and it can all become this long blur.
Yeah.
And there again, I think these tiny steps still create such a important both for the result but also for the motion in itself and the well-being that that creates.
Yeah, exactly.
So as you hear, I'm clearly a fan of baby steps. Yeah. And I read it was really nice, there's this Japanese expression called kaizen, if one wants to have a bit of a fancier word in relation to their strategy and not want to call it baby steps. But kaizen is essentially saying that it's about it's a Japanese philosophy for businesses to, you know, do changes without having to have huge investments and still kind of increase their productivity or whatever. Mm. And it's really talking about like, what are the small things that you can tweak, that you can change, that you could just do a little bit differently?
And here's the thing, there's in that scoop, there are so many different really, really good methods, right? And so here are a few to recommend for everyone that I think are sort of in that field of the baby step business, if you wish. But one is the book, The Four Disciplines of Execution, which is something I work closely with. And it's my colleagues, Chris McChesney and Yim Yuling, that wrote it. And it's amazing. So that's something that inspires me all the time. The whole idea here is pick that big goal, like, okay, I'm going to write the book, right? Something that stands out, with something that's really important for you. And then decide, what's that one little habit that's going to lead into that? Mm. Measure that habit and then have accountability in your teams to make sure that you keep up with that. So that's one method that I think is really for everyone who's, especially if you're working in teams, I think that's an amazing way to create energy, accountability, and engagement. Another one that we've just...
4DX.
Yes. Four Disciplines of Execution. The main author is Chris McChesney.
Okay.
Can definitely recommend that. Another book that I've read recently, and I've listened to him as well, is The Atomic Habits, which is a brilliant book as well, which is really also talking about, hey, pick that little thing that's going to make the difference. And I think that's wonderful and really important. Mm. And then we've started to Google and read like that whole theory. I think it's quite popular here in the U.S., around streaks. Do you want to talk about streaks?
When you pull all of your clothes off and just run
up on the football court. No, that feels like an English thing, right? Like, isn't that like, I'm sorry to all our British listeners, you tell me, but I'm English thinking lads. Of the Wimbledon or English football when people run naked on the court.
Yes, it involves guys with lots of beers and yeah. So that's what we're gonna do.
No, that's not what we're gonna do. So tell us about what is streaking when you're not running naked at Wimbledon. What else is it?
Well, it's the motivational idea around doing something in a row.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like our brain really loving the fact that we keep on doing something and that we can tick something off. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think that's been used for good and bad, right? Like I've heard of it in bad terms in terms of these like TikTok challenges or whatever, where people need to be in contact with each other every day because
yes,
they get
it's crazy.
Points.
I've seen I think it's Snapchat, right?
Okay.
Like the girls, this worked a few years ago, right? It was crazy. They really could not leave their phone. They had to hand over their passwords if we were going somewhere with no Wi-Fi for 24 hours to not interrupt their street. And, you know, it wasn't that it would make sense. It was just like, it's strange.
Exactly. But the idea is that you can use that motivational, because that is what it is.
But that actually talks about how motivational it could be. I mean, the purpose of it, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So it's to use that for something positive.
Yes.
So you could do that around any kind of habit mm-hmm. that you want to mm-hmm. put in place, and you can make sure that you kind of tick in every day that you do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that, and there are apps for doing that that you can download. So for good and bad, I also have this mindfulness app, Waking Up, that I'm listening to, where they used to do that. And then there was this whole conversation around, you know, why make something like mindfulness into this competitive thing that you fail mm-hmm. if you don't do.
Yeah.
So there's a balance there, I think. You know, are you adding more failure to yourself for not streaking?
Yeah.
So he actually removed that from the app, which I think makes sense for a mindfulness app.
Yeah.
But, you know, it might be something that you want to try. And I was playing around with the idea of having some kind of micro baby step habit.
Yeah.
Or even just the fact, like, have I for tomorrow put up one baby step habit or baby step action that I want to take.
Yeah.
So the streak is not necessarily in taking the action. It's like having actually prepared the action for the next day.
Yeah. Well, that could be your action. That's preparation, right? But uh-huh. See, that's also like in Atomic Habits and in other these of like, it's okay if you do one push-up per day. Like mm-hmm. everyone can do it. Like that's the whole idea, to keep it very, very simple and then getting into that habit. And I find it's addictive. I mean, I'm on my Peloton. We've discussed the Peloton before. Mm-hmm. And I was like, when we went to Sweden and I kind of forgot about my app and I lost my 36 week going streak, right? I was devastated.
Yeah.
I lost my weekly account, you know, so I think, so that could be a way.
But sorry, but there, the question then there is, so you're at the 36 week, you've lost your streak.
Yeah.
And this is where we need to begin again.
Exactly. I'm on week 5 now. I'm like, it's a new year. I'm starting over. It's fine. I told myself it can be year per year, right? So I'm going to beat 36 this year.
And that's amazing. But I think that there's an important point there. And that's where everyone, I think, needs to contemplate for themselves. And I think that's the whole point of this episode is how do you pick it up the day, you know, not when you're doing on week 36 to 37, but how are you picking up that day that you have lost your streak?
Yeah.
You know, when things did not work out as you planned. So, and that's what, of course, these baby steps and these methods and the streaking could be part of.
Well, see, I think that's part of our next part, though, because when we were talking about this and preparing, we said one part is, okay, there are systems, there are structures that we can use, like baby steps, the four disciplines, mm-hmm. The streaking, right? All of these things. But the other part is more that mental talk with ourselves, right? Like yeah. that, okay, so how do I do that? How do we pick ourselves up when we missed that, when it didn't work out, when we kind of lost ourselves a little bit?
Yeah.
And I think you said it really well. Like you put those big goals and it was like, that was hard to achieve. One thing is to, okay, break it down. But what if that also didn't work? What can you do? What can we do? What can we tell ourselves when we are stuck a little bit in that situation?
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
So we go back to the first step, which yeah. is like, accepting
yeah.
and mm-hmm. awareness.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I am. And then you start to develop your baby steps. And then also perhaps, do you want to talk about the idea of circle of influence? Do you think that is something that would be useful at that time?
Oh, yeah. I think the circle of influence is always going to be useful. But I do think when we're there, the problem is like we get stuck and we feel annoyed and we put a lot of our energy and thoughts on maybe the things that we can influence. Mm-hmm. So the whole idea with the circle of influence and the circle of concern is you can take everything that sort of concerns you, that worries you, that keeps you up at night, big or small, and put it in a circle of concern, right? Mm-hmm. Now, within that circle, there's a smaller circle, which we call the circle of influence. So out of all these things, and what could it be? Could be okay, COVID, world economy, it could be my child's schooling for next week, it could be the health or my time schedule, or it could be in like big to small, everything really that fits into our circle of concern, to then look at these things and say, what's something little within each of these things that I can influence, right?
Yes.
So to take it to the big extent, you can't influence that your friend or narrow friend is really sick at the moment. But what is something you can influence? You can influence checking in with her and mm-hmm. give her a little bit of strength and courage, right? Mm-hmm. So focus your energy on that instead of that big, awful worry. Like that's a big thing, right? Mm-hmm. But what about, all right, so, oh my goodness, I'm never going to write another book. Like that's big. And thought like, well, I can influence that. I actually can share a short example or a short text 3 times a week, right? So it's like, where do I put my energy and focus on? And I cannot choose everything that happens to me, but I can really work on how am I going to choose to react to it.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I also think that that could help to start to think about, we talked about refocus, mm-hmm. you know, after you've done your awareness, but it's also perhaps something about revisiting the beliefs that you have.
Yeah.
And revisiting what you are, perhaps what are limiting beliefs, or what are putting you in certain places or certain patterns to do certain things. And I was thinking about something the other day. I was, I've been giving my kids, they get snack, right? So mm-hmm. they bring snack mm-hmm. to school. And I was seeing a video that they sent from school, and all of the kids were sitting there with these like little cut up apples and
apple
like really quite nice snack boxes. Yeah, apple slices. And nice snacks. And my kids were sitting there eating like their uncut apple that had just been put into their bag.
The way it was done in the 80s and 70s, you mean? Like you got your apple.
Yeah, exactly. You got an apple.
Yeah. I never got a cut apple.
And I realized, though, how for me lately, it's been a narrative in my mind. Like, I don't have time to cut their apple. Like, I'm a busy, full-time working person, and that's not something, you know, to make a special merinda, it's called here, like a special snack box. Like, why? That is not what I have time to do. And then I started to think now that actually I have a little bit more time. Like, I could actually make apple slices. It's just something I've been telling myself lately, you know, that I can't.
Mm-hmm.
And then I reflected one further step around this, which is that I hold, I think, a belief around like a busy, successful person does not have time to cut up the apples.
Okay, so I get so many thoughts when I hear this story about apple cuttings. Like, and it's interesting because when I think of you, you are my role model in giving healthy food to
apple
your
cutting.
Children. Yes, exactly. Like, So obviously you're like 10 years behind me in that, like, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I wish I should have thought of that, right? You know, your kids thought that ice cream for quite a long time was like mixed frozen berries with avocado, right? Like, it was like, that was their idea. Mm-hmm. And then I know it's not that way any longer, then grandpa came into the picture.
They noticed the joy of real ice cream with real sugar.
Yeah, but so for me, when you're saying this, I'm like, really? Are you not the ones where they would have like the apple cut with like some chia seeds? And, you know, that would be my picture of you. But so what do you conclude? And I guess here's a part of the circle of influence then. Like, is that where you want to put your energy? I mean, okay, your picture of, well, I'm actually a person who has time to cut the apples. But you did tell me when you saw the boys on the video, were they sad about their full apple or like were
completely
they
completely happy about their apple? So that's not the problem. And it makes me think of two things here, what you're saying. The first of all is that the kind of the belief around the apple thing, that it's highly personal. And you had another thought of me as, you know, this successfully apple slicing mom. And then I think the other part of it is just really like, am I choosing to cut or not cut the apples?
Yeah.
Because it is or it's not important to me, or because it does or doesn't give me joy. And I just think all of this long story about cutting apples, I hope you're still with us, like that it makes sense, is that I just had not checked in on that. I just had kept on the belief that I was too busy to cut apples because perhaps I also put some kind of value into being someone that didn't have time to cut apples. And now I actually think, well, I could do that with some joy.
Yeah.
You know, it could actually be a small, nice thing because like you're saying, it does give me joy to feel like the kids are eating a really healthy snack.
So I mean, see, that's where the reflection never ends, because I would also throw in there and I'm, you know, well, why would you cut the apples? Because your kids are clearly enjoying the apple uncut. I mean, are you doing it so that they will look like all the other kids having their apple slices and you will feel just as good as the other moms? Or do you truly enjoy it? I mean, I think that's, and there's no right or wrong. It's just something to ask ourselves, because
exactly
the biggest challenge is how do we use our time? I think there's so many people that are looking into this. And I think you really need to ask yourself, do I have time for apple cutting? And does it add value for me or my boys? And if it doesn't really add value, then maybe don't.
Yeah.
Right. And I think we're talking about apple slices here, but in reality, it could go into all things that we do at work. Like, why do I stay so long with this PowerPoint presentation? Or why am I part of this meeting that I don't need to be? Or why do I feel like I need to go on this dinner with that does not give me energy? Just go a little bit deeper and ask you, what value does it give to you and what value does it give to others?
Mm-hmm. And the idea is, if you're deprioritizing something, what else are you prioritizing?
Yeah.
And the other way around. Obviously.
Exactly. Because every time you choose to cut your apples, you choose to not do something else.
Yes. And what I started to feel, though, was this funny other reaction, which is like, okay, but I could actually really enjoy cutting the apples.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and then you should
do the joy of small things.
Yes.
Which I think is overrated sometimes when we forget that.
but you're absolutely right. So I'm not saying that one or the other is right or wrong. I think exactly to what your point is, like, you actually do enjoy that. And when I see you in the kitchen doing all of these things, I see a lot of joy.
Mm.
When you're working on your green smoothies or your beautiful cakes, and you know, I see you there in your flowy dresses and your kitchen a little bit of a lovely mess, and you're having all these gorgeous ingredients, and you're just perfect. So I see that that's a moment where you shine, really.
Yes. And I think I was reading Brené Brown recently, and just again another quote from her around how busyness is such a buzzword, you know,
yes,
and that we're all kind of tend to be so busy. And I think my whole reflection around that is that I had this idea that I was too busy for doing that.
Mm.
And rather, it should be idea around what do I prioritize and what do I not prioritize?
Yeah.
Not really around busyness.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So where we are, for the listeners who sort of lost where we're at, but we're really talking about that mindset. And if we've lost a little bit of track, to say, what can I do to get back on track? So look at the things that add value. And I love your point. Like, maybe it's just enjoyable to cut apples and I should be doing that.
Mm.
So what is it that gives you joy? And what is it that gives you focus? I think that's so important.
And what are your beliefs around yourself? Like, where are they limiting
yes.
you? And where have a reality check? Do other people actually see you that way?
Yeah.
And they probably don't. So
yes.
why should you?
Yes, yes, yes. So that's another point then, talking about others that we would discuss. And I think it could be really, really important too, is if we feel that we're a little down and we're a little bit lost, another thing that we know drives energy and that is so important is to maybe connect with others. Like, not just like, hey, but to take a moment and check in with people that matters to you, and just go a little bit deeper and create that energy of connection, right?
Yeah. I mean, connection is so crucial for everything, mm-hmm. everything that we do in terms of well-being. And I think that a lot of people are feeling quite lonely.
Yes.
It's an incredibly lonely world, the way that many of us work right now. And that could be even if we're in an office. I've been in many offices where I've been lonely.
Yeah, yeah.
But they can also be when you are working from home. But this idea of connecting with others and the idea of one small thing that I really like, if you're meeting new people, but connecting with people, if you can, in movement. Like yeah. if you can go for a walk with someone, if that is a meeting walk and talk, or if that is a new friend, or if that is a lunch date or whatever it might be. The movement just releases so yeah. much in terms of yeah. ideas. And
That's a good.
And the yeah. synchronicity as well of moving means that we connect more. We feel safer with the other person just because we are moving with them.
Yeah, exactly. And that makes me think I have a friend who's reached out, and I get many lovely requests like this from wonderful people that I know and that I don't know that want to sort of just meet up and talk. And unfortunately, I cannot check in with everyone, but this is a friend of mine, and I really think he needs it right now. And he asked, and so we just said, okay, we're going to go for a walk together and walk and talk and just do a little bit of a coaching check-in session walking, right? And I think that is super powerful. And the trick here, when it comes to relationships and when it comes to connections, is really to think about sort of see through your connections and see who gives you energy and who does not, who drains you from energy. Pick to consciously hang out with the people that do give you energy, right?
Yes. And it's such a common advice, but it's so hard sometimes to apply.
Yeah.
And I think it's, you know, we had that conversation recently, and it's about how do you feel after you leave a conversation or, yes. or a person, mm-hmm. rather.
Yeah.
And that's where it's not so much about whether it's enjoyable when you're with them, but it's really like what happens afterwards. And that is being aware of that can feed that whole circle of, you know, of supporting you and taking the baby steps in the right direction, because that awareness tells you really crucial information about whether that is someone that you should keep connecting with or
yeah.
not.
Yeah. And to your point also, sorry, I wanted to go back to your thought that I think a lot of people are feeling a little lonely now, right? And that it's been there. And so this trip to Hawaii, I keep coming back to it because it was so amazing. And it was really a work trip, actually. It wasn't work, but it was a chairman's club. It's sort of an American thing. I've never experienced it before, that certain criteria that basically how much you've worked, if you're a consultant, gives you this invite for a lovely few days in Hawaii with your spouse. So it was beautiful. And we got to go, Andreas and I, and I met some of my colleagues for the first time in person because, you know, I've been here 2.5 years now and COVID hit. And plus, it's a little bit of a lonely job being a consultant because you kind of travel, you meet a lot of people, but not necessarily your colleagues, right? Mm. And I met some of my colleagues for the first time, and it was just so lovely, right? What an energy boost. So I did write a post around that too. I think as people and as leaders and self-leaders to maybe really be a bit more intentional about creating moments for connecting for your people, your family, your like, because it does give us energy.
Yes.
So if we are a little low in energy and some are saying, okay, but to your point, you can work in an office and also be totally drained from energy. Mm-hmm. It is about how do I build these moments where people can connect to generate that energy.
Yes. And that's what I want to do here on Mallorca.
Yeah.
That's where this institute, that's what I would want to do, is to bring, you know, we're so much time in our minds, especially with colleagues and work projects. And there is something about connecting and moving that mind world to the heart world where it actually becomes real.
Yeah. Right.
That's what we're striving for.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Baby
okay.
steps.
Yes. Baby steps. Baby steps. But it's beautiful. And I think.
But also just to say, for those that are feeling lonely and with the whole connection part, that can also be overwhelming and
yeah.
feel, it's something you can fail in, right? You can feel yeah. like, I didn't connect when I met my lovely colleagues, or I didn't connect and I don't have as many friends and so on. And my tool here again is, well, first of all, perhaps reach out to those you do have, and then baby steps. I was laughing at myself how my word of this year was, you know, plant the seeds. And I still have the expectation that I should already have it all.
Yeah. What a good insight.
Yeah.
How can you have the the flower if your goal is to plant the seeds?
Exactly. So small, small steps. You know, try to make a lunch next week with someone or go for a walk or whatever is small for you. Maybe that is big, you know, or maybe that's nothing. But yeah, small steps.
Yeah, yeah, I'm loving it. Okay, so here's another thought around that. I think, and really, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit here because it's something that I've noticed lately and it's a little bit fun, but I think we all do it, right? That whole idea that we look at others and we see something that it looks so amazing. And I think this is the curse of social media because 99% of what everyone puts out there are all the amazing things that they do. They put out 5% of their life on social media, right? What has been my post this year? It has been beautiful in the snow in Sweden, right, with you. And it's been Hawaii, right? So it looks like I'm constantly on a mountaintop, either in Sweden or Hawaii, having this amazing life. But of course, I'm here in all the stress and work and, you know, like all these different things. But we see that and we're like, wow, that's the kind of life that I want to have. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because you are now in your dream location, Mallorca. Mm. And I've, for years, you've spoken about Mallorca, which I think is so beautiful. I was actually telling someone, it's been some time since we were in touch, and I said, oh, guess what? My sister moved to Mallorca. And she goes, oh, wow. I remember she had her wedding there, right? And so now it's happening. How exciting, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you know what you've done recently? What you've started to talk about? And like, when I'm going to come and visit you? You're like, ah. Victoria, when you come, we should go to Ibiza. It's like an Ibiza.
I There's see like... your point here, but it just represents, yeah, I guess it's the constant quest for adventure. Because I think that that is a different point from what you made before. I thought you were going one way. And the one way, I think, is that on social media, we see the final product.
Yes. Which is, I was probably going many ways.
We compare our starting steps to someone's final product.
But obviously somewhere you've seen Ibiza on social media and in your head, you must have thought like, wow, imagine to go to Ibiza, where I'm like, you're living the dream in Mallorca.
But don't worry. I don't want to go and live in Ibiza. I feel like I'm living in the space. But I think that, you know, you need to have a little sister island on a 2-hour boat ride away where you can kind of, you know, what happens
Your
in
vision.
Ibiza stays in Ibiza.
I guess. All right. So for everyone, if you want to have a little bit of a mental boost, I'd say there are a few books that we've read.
To Ibiza.
Come to Ibiza. but I think there are a few books that we think would be that we've read that we love. I'm reading right now, so I haven't finished it yet, but I'm really enjoying the Robin Sharma, The Everyday Hero. So that's sort of like a book to have on the bedside table with little short pep talks, basically. Like some chapters are like 2 pages and it's just like good insights, wonderful ideas and thoughts. I thought that was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Another book that we've both read is The Long Game by Doris Clark. And I thought that was really a great and quite inspiring book. And it's okay. We're like most successes. And I thought that for me really helped. It's not happening overnight. And we somehow we have this idea that a success is even better if it's super quick, right? If it happened overnight and it makes even more sense. And I think that book is amazing in that way, setting the idea that no, like it takes time and work before you actually get there. And, and that's okay too.
Mm-hmm.
What other books do we have to recommend, you think?
Well, Lagom is a book that you've been reading, right? It's like just enough, good enough.
Yeah, like based on the Swedish expression of like, sometimes it's also good enough to, we don't have to go all in on everything, right?
And it's a good, actually just thinking about expression, right? It's that idea again that like lagom is actually like, it's what we strive for in Sweden. And lagom is like just enough is what it's called. But what is beyond the meaning of just enough is that it's actually the state that you strive for. It's the perfect place, just enough. Not having too much, not having too little. which is not really kind of resonant with capitalism or, or the rest of the world.
But
right?
if it resonates but it's with you, nice. If you look back, we have an episode on Lagom. So everyone mm-hmm. who's like not fed up with us after this hour and when they have a little bit more of a pep talk, I think mm-hmm. go through the old episodes and you'll find one around that philosophy of Lagom, which I think is pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. Another book is Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. I think it's always valuable. You know, I'm such a fan. I mean, that's why I'm working for Franklin Covey, to just use that framework. And it's a wonderful way. And that's where you find the circle of influence, for example. That's a beautiful one.
And then I would perhaps finally say that if what you really need is to just kind of calm down and accept where you are, to maybe pick up a fiction, you know, yes. a nice fiction book. And go with that, go with the flow for a while. I'm reading Piranesi, which is this imaginary world, super strange. Just pick something up that maybe helps you disappear for a little bit.
Okay, so I have another one, the one I'm reading right now, The Dictionary of Lost Words. Amazing. I'm loving it. So that's another one that also gives you some really good insights. All right, so everyone, thank you so much for listening to us today. If you think someone else needs a little bit of a lift up here, please let them know about our podcast. We are so grateful that you're here listening. We have listeners across the world. I think over 70 different countries, listeners in those. I think our top countries right now is actually the US has passed Sweden. Go, come on, Sweden. No, but the US, the UK, Sweden, Holland, lots of countries in Europe and a little bit everywhere. Thank you so much. Lots of listeners in India starting to listen too. Thank you so much, everyone who's listening. We are so enjoying you every month checking in with us.
Yes, and that is the format now, as you see, a little bit longer. We take a little bit more time to really think through what we want to share with you, like the most inspiring things that we have explored that month. And we have a bit of a longer episode coming out each month.
Yes.
We hope you will enjoy.
Good luck, everyone. And we'll see you and talk to you next time. And thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
The softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.